broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hey, by the way, we've been following this really serious story coming out of Beirut, Lebanon, where just a little while ago there was a massive explosion, and the explosion was captured on video as it happened. We have that video at toddstarnes.com in the live show blog, and we've also added some more pictures and video from the scene. Our understanding is that the number of injuries is in the hundreds, and there is massive damage across the entire city. That's how large of an explosion this was. And when you see the video, and Caleb and Avery, I know you guys have seen this video. I have not seen an explosion like that before.
It's insane to watch.
Yeah, it's unreal.
When I first saw it, I almost thought it had to be either a controlled explosion or like a volcano. It took me a while to realize, no, that was just in the city in the middle of the day. It's absolutely insane. What's crazy is the shockwave, because the shockwave almost doesn't even look real. It's insanely huge.
So the guy that was filming it looked to be about a mile or so away. I mean, it's hard to gauge distance, but it knocked him down and caused damage in whatever building. There are pictures of offices where the doors, the wooden doors, were literally ripped off of the hinges.
Yeah,
that's how powerful the blast was.
And me and Avery were just kind of looking at the videos in slow-mo, because there's a ton of videos right now all over social media. People had this from all kinds of different angles. That smoke cloud gets a good couple hundred feet up in the air, and it does so in about a half of a second. It's an insanely intense explosion.
We're not sure what the cause is. Earlier, they thought, oh, it's a fireworks. Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of fireworks they were making. That was not a fireworks plant. There was something else going on there. BBC reporting, there's been a lot of controversy in Beirut over a trial. They're also reporting that there has been a second explosion. So we'll keep you posted on that. But again, if you haven't seen this video, we've got it for you over on the website. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program from First Liberty Institute, Jeremy Dice. Jeremy, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Hey, a couple of stories we wanted you to weigh in on. First of all, a good friend of this program, Senator Ted Cruz. He was in town yesterday. Got to hang out with him for a little while. He is really upset with the Defense Department and has sent a strongly worded letter to the Defense Secretary about attacks on religious liberty. Specifically, he's upset about religious discrimination. I know that you're pretty excited that someone like Senator Cruz is speaking out, but what is he speaking out about?
Well, I think he's got every reason to be able to send a strongly worded letter, as you put it, to the Secretary of the Defense, because the United States Marine Corps just a couple of weeks ago disinvited someone from addressing a room full of about 120 or so U.S. Marine Corps judge advocates, that's the lawyers for the Marine Corps, who were in reserve training. And they're going to learn about the lessons of history and leadership that the Battle of Gettysburg would teach them by a former professor at the United States Air Force Academy. Well, it happens that this professor also happens to have in his biography reference to his association with CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ, a religious organization that he spent a lot of time working with, and therefore is himself a Christian. Well, that was enough for Mikey Weinstein, the gentleman who runs the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, is always kind of after the military on these matters. He claimed that this was an Establishment Clause violation, that this would actually establish a church somehow within that discussion. And so he called a very high-ranking official in the Pentagon, and within just a few minutes managed to convince that person to cancel this professor from addressing these Marines after all. And so instead of learning about the lessons of history and leadership from the Battle of Gettysburg, these judge advocates received a discussion on systemic racism and that sort of thing within the United States Marine Corps. In effect, the Marine Corps canceled someone just because they have a religious identification and association. That's completely wrong, and that's exactly what Senator Cruz is after, to find out why the Marine Corps is in the business of canceling people based upon their religious beliefs rather than preparing warriors for battle.
And again, folks, just understand, I don't think, honestly, Jeremy, I don't think the average American understands what the Obama administration did to our military. They completely destroyed the culture of the military for their own gain, to turn it into some sort of a social justice brigade. And that's what the Trump White House is trying to undo, and I guess that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, and I think Senator Cruz is very concerned with a Marine Corps that, rather than developing Marines for battle, is catering to the woke crowd right now. And if you can cancel a speaker to a room full of judge advocates because he has a religious belief and association, does that mean that religious Marines are no longer welcome? How long before they are removed from the Marine Corps because of their religious association? That kind of religious test for office is disallowed within the Constitution. There is a body of case law within the Supreme Court that says you cannot remove someone from a public benefit just because they have a religious background and belief. And there's all kinds of regulations within the Department of Defense that are apparently just simply being ignored by people like the deputy judge advocate to the commandant of the Marine Corps. That kind of thing cannot happen. And Senator Cruz, along with I think Congressman Collins, has asked similar questions. They're due answers by the Secretary of the Defense, and I hope he provides them satisfactorily very soon and corrects this problem within the United States Marine Corps. I know the Commander-in-Chief has got to be up in arms about this.
Oh, no, I have no doubt that he is. No doubt, no doubt at all. Look, another story, Jeremy, Montgomery County, Maryland. Good on the governor there for stepping in. They were the state was wanting to ban private and religious schools from physically reopening because of the China virus. What happened?
Yeah, look, the local health official there, as so many local health officials have throughout the country, decided to view with skepticism the local private Christian schools in particular. And so they basically said that no school, no private Christian school can open for any reason at any time, I think to like October or something like that. Well, look, what the governor basically did is say, look, we're giving flexibility and freedom to the local schools to figure out, public schools, how to restart their school year. We're not going to treat Christian schools differently here. And any local health official that says otherwise needs to be removed from the central planning process. And I think that's exactly part of the lesson that we have now learned throughout this entire process. Central planning doesn't work. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution right now. These are nuanced and difficult situations to have to work through. And to treat religious organizations, religious people, churches, schools, otherwise, to treat them with some level of skepticism, as we've seen so often from the New York Times all the way to the Supreme Court, it's got to stop. We can't continue to treat religious organizations as if they're the problem, rather than addressing the real cause of this problem, which is the coronavirus itself and how we get out of that situation that we find ourselves in right now. Thank you to Governor Hogan for doing the right thing there. That was the right thing to be done. And it gives the freedom to these Christian schools in Maryland to be able to set their own course and their own destiny. They, better than anybody else, know how to care for and protect the safety and health of their students, their teachers, and the entire community, including the parents, that support that effort.
Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, big picture here. So you got the left attacking Christian schools. You had the attacks nationwide on the Catholic churches with the beheadings of all the statues. You've got the attempt to burn down St. John's Church by the protesters. They were burning stacks of Bibles over on the West Coast in Portland. They were threatening to tear down a cross at a Christian college in Eugene, Oregon. You've got Christians that were penalized in places like Kentucky and Mississippi. And now Pastor John MacArthur says his church under investigation under a possible threat of arrest for holding indoor worship services in a state where you cannot sing worship songs. Jeremy, putting all those puzzle pieces together, what do you got?
Well, it's a dim future for religious liberty in this country when those who are charged with protecting the free exercise of religion seem to be entirely intent upon focusing all their energies upon religious organizations, institutions, and people. They turn an entirely blind eye to thousands upon thousands of protesters and rioters and others who scream at the top of their lungs about whatever message they want to care about, and the governors will join them arm in arm as they walk down the main street. And yet they turn their full force and attention upon individuals who have a duty before God to worship him. These decisions, as John MacArthur has well recognized, and I said, I think put out very, very well, those are decisions left best to the institutions themselves. That's what we used to call freedom in this country. We appreciate our leaders for providing us the wisdom and guidance that they need to provide during times like this, but that's wisdom and guidance. It's not. It ought not to be dictates by individual governors, individual local health officials. It ought not, we don't have a system in which we have a king or a dictator saying you must do this or else. We have a democratic system that says we trust you with your own individual responsibility. You need to exercise it wisely.
And sadly,
anyone who's teaching something else is just squelching freedom in this country.
And Jeremy, and sadly, and this was probably a body blow to a lot of us in the movement. We now have a majority. We have a liberal majority on the Supreme Court, and the Chief Justice, you know, siding with the liberals to shut down churches in Nevada and California. I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
It is, and it's unfortunate. Thankfully, at First Liberty, we've been winning elsewhere on these issues. And hopefully those voices of Justices Alito and Thomas and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, who are still holding forth and correctly stating that you cannot treat religious institutions differently, or as Justice Gorsuch, I think, put it, you cannot render under Caesar's palace what the church is responsible for itself. You know, that kind of activity, I hope that argument wins the day ultimately in the Supreme Court. I've, like you, been very disappointed to see what's come out of that. Again, from the New York Times to the Supreme Court and every governor in between, it seems like, there is this antipathy and animosity, growing animosity, towards what we once treasured in this country, which is not only the possession of religion, but the free exercise of it. We need to get back in this country to trusting individual responsibility and providing the maximum amount of freedom that we possibly can for you and I to be able to pursue not only our God-given rights and responsibilities, but to care for one another in a responsible way in doing so. We can trust the American people, as Governor of South Dakota has shown us time and again. We can trust our people to make the right decisions. The more we clamp down on them, the worse the predicament seems to become.
Well said. By the way, Jeremy, if I ever get in trouble on this religious liberty stuff, I'm giving you a call. I've got you on speed dial.
Well, thank you for that, and I hope others will go to firstliberty.org and plan to do the same.
All right. Jeremy Dice, ladies and gentlemen, great American. Jeremy, you doing good otherwise?
Doing well, my friend. I hope you are as well.
Yeah, pretty good. It's hot here. It is. I got living in New York City 15 years. I can't deal with the humidity anymore.
But at least you got the barbecue.
And the sweet tea. And the air conditioning. All right. Jeremy, thank you. Good guy right there, folks. Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute. All you folks needing some religious liberty help, give them a holler because they will take care of you. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Congressman Andy Biggs coming up in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
To the show. Let's go to the phone line, San Jose, California. David hanging out with us. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
I'm just curious. How are we losing our religious freedoms? I mean, you know, you look at the thing, the churches need to be responsible like anyone else, like a restaurant and everything else. Have restaurants lost their freedoms by having to adjust to takeout and delivery orders rather than dining inside? I mean, the church has to evolve. The message hasn't changed.
Wait. Who says the church has to evolve? Who says the church has to evolve?
The message hasn't changed. But world devolves? Should we go back to a church of everyone, the whole choir wears robes again and lose contemporary worship? The church needs to adapt.
You know what? According to your governor, yes. As a matter of fact, the governor has outlawed church choirs and worship bands. You're not allowed to sing in California anymore in a church house.
Well, the church that I attend in California, even online, they have people calling in and combine the choir into a wonderful worship service with the choir online.
That's good for them, David. But again, what right does the governor have to tell a church when they can worship and how they can worship? That's not in the United States Constitution.
Has he banned worship service on YouTube? Has he banned live streaming? No, he hasn't.
It doesn't matter. Don't you agree, though, that the church should have that decision?
Church is church anywhere. Church is church. It's not a physical building. The church is in the people.
Regardless, churches have a right, yes or no, do churches have a right to gather for corporate worship as they are called to do in Holy Scripture?
They have a right to gather, but the way of gathering has been altered for safety right now, and it doesn't mean that it's not going to go back to being able to
not,
gather
David,
in person.
But it's not, David. How can you, again, your government leaders are saying, you know what, it's okay for hundreds of you to gather in the streets to protest and violate social distancing rules, but it's against the law for you to gather, or it's against our orders for you to gather in a church house, even if you are socially distancing yourself. How is that not hypocrisy?
Well, they're free to gather.
It's not. No, they're not free to gather. They're not free to gather, David. Come on. You got to look, I understand what you're saying. And if a church, that is the church's decision. That is their right to make, not the government's. That's the point of all of this. If you want to worship online, hey, that's fine. That is your decision as a church. That is not the government's right to come in and tell you how to worship.
Okay, let me ask you another question. What's a church for?
What do you mean, what is the church
for? What's the purpose of the church?
We are called together. Why do we go to church? Why do you go to church?
I go to church for my relationship with God. So I want to ask you another question.
Okay, go right ahead.
Why should Donald Trump go to a church for a political campaign and make it a den of thieves? Because a church should not be political.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He went to a church. Donald Trump went to the church in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
And what did he do there? Political campaigning.
Are you kidding me? David? The Democrat Party hijacked every black church in America. They've been playing politics and preaching politics for decades. You want to talk politics? What about Barack Hussein Obama's church? The chickens have come home to roost, GD America? You want to talk about? Look, the purpose of the church is to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what the purpose of the church is. David, give us a call back sometime. Sorry, I'd love to continue the conversation, but we got to take a break. Congressman Andy Biggs coming up next. Starnes Radio Show on primary day. So folks, got to get out, got to go vote, got to get engaged in the political process. And trust me, 2020, this is the big one, folks. You gotta be involved. Hey, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Congressman Andy Biggs, hanging out in the great state of Arizona today. Congressman, I know a lot of folks are getting out and voting for you at the polls.
Well, I sure hope so, Todd. We've been trying to get him motivated and get him out there, but we hope so. We hope it's a good turnout completely around the state today.
I think we've got to send a message that that Republicans, conservatives are engaged in the political process. More importantly, though, they've got to get out and vote in November.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, this, I mean, every politician says this every election, but this is no hyperbole. This is the most important election. You've never seen a dichotomy like you see between the left and the right. And it's no longer Democrats versus Republicans. It is absolutely authoritarianism versus freedom, our traditional values versus some kind of progressive socialist mantra. That's how important it is that we set the stage for November, Todd.
I'm curious what you are hearing, boots on the ground there in Arizona. Are people heading out to the polls? Are they staying at home? Or, you know, is the Chinese virus having any sort of impact?
Well, it is. I mean, it's kind of changed things quite a bit. We in Arizona usually vote about 65 to 75% through a mail-in ballot system for that you have to sign up for, et cetera. But what we're seeing is Democrats are returning their ballots a lot more than Republicans did, although we kind of closed the gap toward the end there. The question is, how will we do getting out today? And let's face it, if you can go to a big box grocery store or hardware store, then you can go vote. And I'm hoping that people will actually get out and vote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're seeing the same thing in Tennessee, where our show is based. The Republicans were saying just about 10% have actually cast early votes. So they're trying to, you know, the primary here is on Thursday. It's very weird, Congressman. I don't understand that. But Thursday. But yeah. I suspect that's the way it is across the country. People are just, you know, they're a little nervous.
They are nervous. And I think that the president has tried to clarify this, you know, absentee balloting, which is what a lot of this early balloting stuff is fine, because usually you can verify that you've had to show ID to get your early ballots and get on the list or whatever. But when you mail out to people generically and you don't allow a cleaning up of the rolls, which they don't allow in most places, then you're going to definitely have fraud. I mean, look, how many people do you know? We get one of our daughters. We still get her ballot here, and she hasn't lived here for years. That's the type of thing that happens all over the place because you don't call the rolls.
Congressman, on this issue of the China virus, there is a lawsuit in Arizona. You got a lot of bars, some restaurants suing the governor. And they're saying, hey, we want to be able to reopen our businesses. I understand you've had a chance to talk to the attorney representing these bars.
Yeah. So there's more. Elon Werman is the attorney for the clients that are suing the governor. And what's happening is, you know, the governor has basically said, if you have a certain kind of liquor license, we're shutting you down. But the other seven classes, if you're a bar in a hotel, or you're a bar in a social club, nobody else has to shut down, just these bars. And it's just not fair, of course, but it's also antithetical to constitutional values. And so they're taking him to court on, Arizona's Constitution has a couple provisions in there that seem to limit his authority, but the statute was drafted so broadly and so openly that's where they're attacking him. And I think that they've got a shot at it. I mean, it's a pretty good case. We're talking about privilege immunities clause here in Arizona and non-delegable duties. In other words, the legislature just can't delegate to the executive branch an unconstrained power without any temporal time limits or anything like that. And that's what we're seeing. And it's, you know, Todd, you and I have both seen this. Our people listening today have seen this all over the country, where governors, mayors, et cetera, they've gone in and willy-nilly with contradictory messaging and contradictions imposed their will on certain industries and businesses. So, you know, you can't go to church and worship, but you can go to the marijuana dispensary. You can't go into a small retail furniture store, but you can go into a big box furniture store. These types of things just don't make any sense. And I hope that these guys prevail.
Yeah, I do too. Because, again, you know, Congressman, a lot of folks out there wondering, and by the way, folks, we have Congressman Andy Biggs with us from the great state of Arizona, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. You know, Congressman, a lot of people, and we hear these folks, they call into our show and they're saying, Todd, we don't get it. We're just a mom and pop business. We don't have any big lobbyist up on Capitol Hill, you know, trying to get us to reopen our store. What are we supposed to do? And you wonder how many of these small businesses will never be able to reopen because of the shutdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal, the lack of recognition of what that means, because this has a cascading thing. Todd, so think about it. You get the small mom and pop shop, and they may have mortgaged their house, right? They may have leveraged retirement savings. They may have borrowed whatever. They're there, and now they have to fire employees because they don't have the money for them, and then they can't pay their rent on the commercial property. So what's happened in most states is this cascades. They say, well, there's going to be rent forgiveness, so you don't have to pay rent to your landlord. Well, then the landlord's saying, but, you know, I have to pay the investors or the bank or my finance company, and so they can't pay. And, you know, it just cascades when you go down like this, because what happens is everybody further down gets it. And in the end, you know who ends up paying for it? The future generations, because the tax and spenders in Congress keep coming out with these relief packages in the trillions of dollars that we don't have. And we're going to have something like, I saw yesterday a report of a 130% debt to GDP ratio by the end of this fiscal year. You know what Greece was when they fell? They were about 113%. So this is really dangerous, both on the micro level for that mom and pop who are struggling and may never be able to reopen it, may lose their home, may lose their health, may lose their business. And it goes right up to the macro system where you're talking about, we can't pay it. This generation won't pay it. It's a future generation's going to pay it, or else you're going to see a totally deflated currency, which means that you're going to have inflation to pay it back with inflated dollars. This is, in other words, this is a serious problem from the micro level right on to the macro level, Todd.
It is, Congressman. I don't know if the party, the Republican Party, understands what's about to happen here. I mean, you have the president considering possibly action to suspend evictions and the payroll tax. And look, I get it. You know, we're in an election year. But the reality is, okay, let's say you are a landlord and you own an apartment building and, you know, you can't, nobody's able to pay their rent. So how are you supposed to, I mean, what are you supposed to do as the landlord if you, again, if you can't, you know, evict people who cannot pay their rent? I mean, you hate to do something like that, but the reality is that landlord has bills to pay too.
Yeah, and that's my point. It just cascades through the whole complex economy that we have. And a lot of people don't realize that when you have freedom and you have markets like we do, and the markets drive everything, it's an incredibly complex system of economy and all interrelated. You get what you want, Todd, because you want it. You go out and work for it, and you make deals and provide consideration to others. I do the same. Everybody does. Billions of transactions every day. You cannot control it by a bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. And that's unfortunately what Democrats have really tried to do. And that's where Nancy Pelosi is with that, with a HEROES Act, which is really trying to get hold of virtually every aspect of our economy that's now already controlled by government.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good to have you on the show, and best of luck to you in the primary race today.
Thank you, Todd. Always good being with you. Take care, my friend.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs, he is chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and he's a fighter, and he's on our side. He is on the side of the American people and the American taxpayers. And it does frustrate me that when you look at the spending habits of some of these establishment Republicans, I mean, they're spending money worse than the Democrats are. And at some point, you know, I love our president, but again, when you suspend the payroll tax, who's going to pay the bills? Where are they going to get the money to pay for all of this stuff? That's what I want to know. And by the way, if you think that's bad, you just think about this. On the local level, where do you think the money is going? Where are they going to find the money to pay the police officers and the firefighters and taking care of your streets and picking up the garbage? Folks, it is, like the congressman said, it is a cascading problem. And you cannot kick this can down the road, because sooner or later, the money is going to run out. No doubt about it. So what is the answer? The answer is to open up the country. Let people get back to work. Let us figure out a way to deal with whatever this China virus is. But we've got to get on with our lives, and we've got to get back to work. We've got to get the country back to work. All right, we've got to take a break here, and we have to pay some bills. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarns.com. Again, check out some great stuff we have for you there. Great free resources. Our daily podcast, our newsletter. It is a great way to share the information you hear from us on this radio program with your friends and with your neighbors. And if you miss an episode or a segment of the program, you can go back and listen at your convenience. You can find all of that at toddstarns.com. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Melba is hanging out with us in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on the great KARN. Hi, Melba. How are you today?
Oh, hey. I'm living the life. I'm great. I think you had somebody on earlier, and if anybody's called you about this, I may be a repeat caller. In Little Rock, there was something posted where they were going to come to the Capitol grounds and take a couple of Confederate statues down. Has anybody called about that?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, a group of people showed up to stop them, with citizens, and they, their guns. Arkansas was very pro-gun, open carry, all that stuff. And they were there. And nothing happened. They eventually, you know, they hollered stuff at each other, but they eventually dispersed. The state troopers did come, and I will have to hand it to Governor Hutchison. He is not, wasn't my choice for governor, and sometimes he does, he gets a little purple. But whenever stuff went down a couple of months ago, he immediately had state police, and he set up a different chain of command. And so it was, I think, dealt with very effectively. But this person put this on social media. And, you know, you can find anything on social media. And there was a group, and it wasn't, you know, 5 or 10. It was more than that. I wouldn't say it was hundreds, but by any stretch of the imagination. But the fact is, they were there. They had weapons, too, because we can do that in Arkansas. And that the states that are not having these issues, maybe that's why, because we're pro-gun. So that happened this past Saturday night, and it was, nothing came of it. And I think it had a lot to do, even with the state troopers' cars there, the Antifa, whoever they were, could have gone ahead and done something just to get a response from.
Now, Melba, the CBS what? Affiliate here, the CBS affiliate in Little Rock, says that there were a group of Black Lives Matter protesters, and they showed up. And you're right. They said dozens of people were there protecting the Confederate statue. And it looks like some of them, you know, again, if you're a law-abiding gun owner, you've got a right. You should engage in that right. And
yeah, I promise you, some of those Antifa's had, Antifa people probably had guns.
No doubt about it. But the point here, though, which is a terrific point you're making, Melba, is that you have a right to engage in your constitutional rights, too. And as a result of those people going out there, that statue is still standing.
Well, they also, I will tell you this, they had put a barrier around it. It was like sort of like the poles that hook up chain link fences. It wasn't the mesh part, and they had it bolted down in the ground. So they would have had to have jumped over that. And not that they wouldn't. We've seen them. They'll do anything. But that was already, they had put that up beforehand, because this man put this video out during the week last week. Okay, but there is something. There's something I want to ask you. You were talking about the Supreme Court ruling on they agreed you can't have church, blah blah blah, in California and some other state. I can't remember what it was.
It was Nevada.
Okay, how does it even reach the Supreme Court? It's. I thought their job was to interpret a law that had
that
been legislation,
correct.
Whether it was constitutional. I thought that was their job.
That is correct. That is their job is not to make law, but to you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why are they dealing with an edict that a governor put out? How does that even get up there? I say, yeah, y'all said that. Men in black. There's nine of y'all, and who says there has to be nine? Why can't we have seven? Why can't we have 12? It's not set in stone how many justices you have up there. If I was Trump, I would just appoint them. No, maybe not. We're getting a little off kilter here.
I don't think you want to do that. But Melba, no, I get the spirit of what you're trying to say. And it's a fair question. And the problem is we do have judges that legislate from the bench. And unfortunately, George W. Bush put a liberal on the high court. But as bad as it is, it could have been worse because Bush was going to put another liberal, Harriet Myers, on the court, and there was so much backlash. And if you remember at the time, the Chief Justice died, and suddenly he had two positions to fill. So he withdrew the nomination of Roberts to be an associate justice, renominated him as the Chief Justice, and brought in Sam Alito, who turned out to be a rock-solid conservative. So that sort of worked out. But it's sad to say, and Jim Jordan made a passing reference to this in the testimony up on the House Judiciary last week when he said, we've got a liberal majority on the bench. And it's true. Melba, thank you for the call. And you folks in Little Rock, maybe you were at this gathering Saturday, looks pretty interesting that you had a group of local citizens show up and defend the Confederate statue. Good for you guys. So give us a call, 844-747, if you were there. That's 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Students for Life. Also, Asheville, North Carolina, the school district there now giving permission to high school athletes to disrespect the national anthem. So if you're a high school athlete, you can take a knee during the national anthem. I have some thoughts on that, and I'm sure you do as well. One of them involves the phrase jerking a knot. We'll talk about that coming up after the top of the hour news break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.